conversations of inspiration.
Hey guys, this is Jordan Hussey from Jay's Place Recovery Center, and I'm here today with our very own Greg O'Hara. Greg, how you doing?
Pretty good. Awesome day today.
So we're going to talk about you and your experience as a person in long-term recovery and overcoming maybe some trauma, and also veterans and what maybe they have to overcome as far as getting into recovery and the barriers they face, and maybe how it's different. You know, I can't really say that even as a person who has experienced trauma that I can relate in any way to maybe some of the experiences that you've had.
You know, I had some childhood trauma, and then I had in my young adult years trauma as well. But what was the original root, like what caused me to like be more heavy into substance misuse? It came from the military, you know. I was an Army medic, you know, in the Army. I love the Army, the military. You know, I grew up that way. My dad was a Marine. He was a master gunnery sergeant, you know, and I lived on all these different military bases. So, you know, I was, you know, really just taken aback by the culture, you know, at such a young age. So I knew I would go, you know. I didn't know I was going to be a medic, you know, when I joined. Actually, I originally wanted to go in the Air Force, but my ASVAB, I guess it didn't quite make the cut for the job I wanted to do. But I became a medic. You know, I went through my basic training at Fort Knox, Kentucky, which is really cool. Love that place. Then I did my AITs, like my job training, at San Antonio, Texas, in Fort Sam. And at that time, that's when it shifted from Desert Shield to Desert Storm, and they sent some medics to overseas to Desert Storm. They sent a lot of us over to the DMZ in South Korea. And that's where I experienced my trauma, you know, just a 19-year-old, you know, coming straight, you know, from right out of medical school, not really sure on what it is I needed to do. I had my basic knowledge on how to treat, you know, any basic trauma. I guess it would equate to like a paramedic or an EMT, but it would just be dealing with soldiers in our military. I was attached to a field artillery unit. You know, it was one of those units where it's like the Jeeps with the machine guns on the back of it.
Wow.
So I was attached to one of those.
So I don't want to ask you about the specific trauma that you encountered. I feel like maybe that's not appropriate. But I do want to acknowledge the fact that being an Army medic, like, there must have been a lot. Like, let's just acknowledge the fact that, you know, in that position and at that time, there was definitely the ability to see a lot of trauma.
Yes, you know, considering your job was to treat trauma. So
right.
I did experience, got exposed at an early age to trauma. You know, and that's where my nerves got shot, basically. You know, I was really numb to a lot of things. And just coming up in the military culture, I did with what my superiors or other medics did. You know, we would medicate by just drinking. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we had full reign of any type of medication, you know, because we work at the aid station. You know, I remember getting drunk, you know, and just passing out, you know. We just did some horrible things to this cannon, but I woke up and we wound up, I had IVs in me. They were basically resuscitating me, you know, getting me right back energized. And I never knew that, you know, these were things that I was learning, you know, just how we were able to cope with what we see, you know.
So skip forward to your home. And just for those listening, you know, do you mind talking about what were some of the symptoms in ways that maybe you coped that were not healthy?
Well, I know I had a lot of extreme paranoia. Mm-hmm. You know, I would take one thing in the military, you know, being a medic, they taught us how to triage. So if we see, you know, one person that this maybe just has a sprained ankle, we may see someone that's been shot. We may see someone else that's just caught a virus or something, or an eye infection. We would teach us how to triage. So coming out, you know, I would look at a situation and I would automatically see threat.
Wow.
And it may not necessarily be that of that level of threat. But that was a really bad symptom for me. I was constantly on guard, you know, just because of where I was stationed at. You know, at that time, it was an all-male post, and we were on high alert 24/7, 7 days a week. You know, we have to be only, we had to be in earshot of the siren. You know, if we needed to do something. So, you know, that living like that for, you know, a year, it took a toll on me, you know, coming out. You know, I didn't really know. People were like telling me about the symptoms. You know, they were like telling me things were off with me. You know, and I did not understand, didn't see it, because I just pretty much remember what I would do to feel better.
Right. And I completely relate to that, because I think a lot of us can. We don't see our own behaviors the way that others see it. Maybe from the outside, we think we're just dealing. You know, we feel this way, we don't want to feel this way. And that is not how our loved ones recognize our behavior as being outside the norm, you know. I appreciate you acknowledging that, you know, because I think it's a part that we miss. We think that we should know when we're off. And unfortunately, that's just not the case. I'm the last one to recognize my own stuff a lot of times, you know. It usually takes someone else pointing it out to me. And I think that as time goes and we've been helped by someone assisting us and pointing out the behaviors over time, we learn to recognize it in ourselves. But usually we spot it in other people before we spot it in ourselves. So you went to a psychiatrist or several before you found a good fit for you. Now, so as a veteran, I mean, I think that each of us needs to find our own help, right? Like our mental health always needs to be something that is a good fit. But what is it like for, you know, like I couldn't dream of approaching you and trying to connect with you on that level, because I have no experience. What's that been like for you with people who maybe have no experience with what you've gone through and the importance of it being someone that has? Like, what's the difference for you?
Yes, good question. I think the difference now, now because I've been able to get, you know, the proper help and have the right support. But, you know, dealing with people who or civilians or someone who may be unfamiliar what about military trauma or first responders or whatever that matter, it can be difficult.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for me, I came to recovery first through mental health route.
Okay.
You know, because I just could not stay sober. You know, I would stay sober but I still had all these things going on in my head, and I would just have more and more. I would do more to not think about those things, of the traumas that I had
Sure.
from the military. And when I got out, you know, I'm dealing with my family and my friends who wouldn't even, I didn't know, like, how can I even talk to you about, you know, some of the stuff that I was seeing and doing over there, because you haven't went through it, you know. You like I was saying in a previous conversation with you about, you know, a lot of civilians or people, they see movies a lot and they associate that with like what you've gone through, and it's totally different. You know, that's entertainment, but when you're actually out there and you're actually doing these things, it's a whole different ball game. You know, it really determines, you know, if a live or die type situation. You know, I'm not necessarily saying that my trauma is bigger than anyone else's, you know, but for me to be able to understand it, I had to gravitate towards other veterans, you know, that went through similar stuff that are in recovery from substance use. And that was like my pathway to getting sober, once I was able to recognize the symptoms and the reason why that I wanted to get high or use, you know, because I didn't want to think about what I did, you know, or what I saw. So, you know, coming back, you know, it was definitely very, very difficult at first, even going to the VA at that time. You know, because my trauma was like during the Desert Shield, Desert Storm era. You know, I don't, PTSD, like that terminology really wasn't out there, you know. So it was more like, you know, you're just shell shocked, you know, and it was very, very masculine, you know, just suck it up, just keep sucking it up, you know. So it just kept masking it, you know, and I kept pressing it down, suppressing it, until it just ultimately led to other things, you know, that really was my downfall. But nonetheless, you know, I was able to, you know, come out of it, you know, thankfully, by really understanding what mental health is. You know, that was like the biggest thing that really helped me find recovery.
And I'm so grateful that you have, and I'm so grateful that you're a part of our team, because it's again an area that I can't relate to, you know, Will can't relate to, and you bring this piece of the puzzle that I think has been missing for a long time. And you touched on it just then, the acknowledgement that not only is there stigma about being a man who is dealing with things and needs to suck it up because that's what society has said. But then there's another layer, because when you're a veteran, you have a very limited amount of people that you can relate to. It's not the same as walking into an AA meeting or an NA meeting and just spilling the beans on what you saw, you know, you're going to traumatize people. People aren't going to understand. And so that's another barrier, I think, for veterans is, you know, not only am I a man and I need to suck it up, but there are things that I dealt with that I should not be okay with. And to not be able to say, I'm not okay, is such an important part of the recovery process. And I think it is an important part of everyone's recovery process, but it is a lot, I think, more challenging to be a man and be a veteran that has seen things that I can't even imagine, that has had to experience things that, you know, would completely evade me. You being a part of our team has brought another entire aspect to us, because you are very much like you have that, was it left brain thinking? You know, I see things very black and white sometimes, and you have this creative nature about you that I envy in some ways because I can't draw a stick figure, but you are, you bring that to the table as well. And I don't think a lot of people know that about you. And so I want you to talk a little bit about that part of you, like what it is you do in your creative and how does that help you in your recovery?
Yeah. So, I love art. Art has always been a part of me. I've been doing it ever since I can even, remember. I remember growing up, they had like this contest on the back of a comic or a magazine I seen somewhere where you just draw this picture of a parrot head and you would turn it in. And I forgot how old I was. I know I was in elementary school, but I did it. And I got responses back. People were telling me how much they liked it and how I should go to school for it. So I kept, kind of doing it a lot more. And I started getting into like music as well. It's just something that's, my mom, she used to sing. I do have some family that are, musicians. But it just always, was a part of me, it seemed like. But I wanted to do it professionally with my art and music. And it gained a lot of momentum, but unfortunately, there was a lot of things mentally. I think I was just too immature to do at that time, but now, since being in recovery, having the good support and having the knowledge that I do have, I do plan to revisit both areas, because for the longest time now, me and my artwork, we had kind of a love-hate type relationship, because I mean, really, we would, because I would draw, I was like a workhorse. I would just draw for I would do logos, I would do portraits, I would do just patterns, just whatever anybody wanted. But, I had to get high in my 20s. And it was almost like an activator for me to even pick up a pencil and draw, because I didn't have recovery. I didn't have, the tools to have to how to deal with it.
And by activator, you mean
wanting to use.
Gotcha.
Yeah, wanting to use. So the art almost became like it became an activator for me, because I would associate that with it for so long, because I was doing it for so long. But now getting the help with my counselors, my therapist, and veteran friends, and just all everyone in my support network now, I feel like, like my higher power, put me here on this planet to do that, because I realized the power of music and the power of art. You can do anything with it. You can make people cry, you can make people laugh, you can, make people spark awareness and consciousness. So, I had to really think about, do a lot of soul searching on how I want to put out, the music as well as my art now,
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was beautifully said, and I find it true, when I have music for every mood. And I think that art tends to, the best art tends to make me think and look inward and go, wow, yeah, how do I interpret that? And my interpretation may be very different than yours, or the way that I look at it, my perception of it might not be the same as yours. I think it's amazing. And again, it makes me a little envious because I feel like I'm artistically challenged. And so when I look at someone else that's able to do it and not criticize and not, I would throw the stick figure I had drawn away 1,000 times, just out of self-criticism. But I think that there's so much value that you have been able to do, not only for yourselves, but those around you that are recovering. I have gained so much from hearing not only your story and how you share about the impact of what's happened, but this disconnect, I think, that, you and I are alike in many ways, but there are some ways that we are very much different. And I think it allows the community to recognize that there are so many steps that we still have yet to take.
Yes, I totally agree with you. You know, that's why I got into this field. You know, for one, I don't want anyone to go through what I went through, mm-hmm. whether you're a veteran or not. You know, and I see the importance of the need to bring that awareness to the veteran community, to recovery itself. You know, just like I see the importance of me doing a music and art in the right way, you know, and I think it's all just God's plan for me. You know, I try not to look past too much. I'm mindfulness. You know, that has been like a huge thing. My therapist did this. We would do like mindfulness eating. We would do listening to music, mindfulness. There's so many different things that you could listen to, guided meditations that really kind of helps put me in a perspective to get things done. You know, and that's one thing I love about Jay's Place. We get things done. You know, it may not be to like my, I mean, cause I'm an artist, so I'm always constantly trying to be perfect, 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 you know, which is unrealistic, but you know, I guess that's just a drawback from being an artist. I think, you know, we're very judgmental on our work, you know, but I want to definitely, you know, be more, out here in the community, you know, spreading the awareness of mental health, you know, for a substance misuse, you know, to just have these conversations to let people know that it's okay. You're not a bad person. You know, this is what you can do to discover and be your best you. You know, I know if I can do it, I know anyone else can do it. You know, but it does take a lot of awareness and help, and it's okay to ask for that help. It's okay to even be emotional. You know, for the longest time, I've said it so many times. I never could cry. Mm. You know, I can, because I come from this military background. Even when I was little, you know, I can tell you a story. My brother, I have one older brother. He's only a year older than me. So he had his big wheel taken, and my dad, he came home crying, and I asked him, what's wrong? He said, these guys took my big wheel. I said, well, hold on, I'll go get it for you. And my mom was like, no, don't let him go, don't let him go, no. My dad was like, go on, let him go. So I got this wiffle ball bat. You know, those little plastic wiffle ball bats with the holes in them.
Yes.
So I got my bat and I went out there and I was like, hey, I saw my brother's big wheel. I saw these two guys. You know, I was like, hey, that's my brother's big wheel. I said, well, it's our big wheel. Now, after that right there, I just went to work on them. You know, my mom was hollering, oh, stop him. But after I finished, I got my brother's big wheel back in, so I always felt like I had like this, I won't say a chip on my shoulder, but I had this, you know, we're just being like a helper, mm-hmm. like for the people that couldn't stick up for themselves. You know, I was always a comic book head and a superhero. So that's why I joined the Army too, you know. So I having, you know, all, you know, that mindset, you know, it led me actually to my downfall, you know, because I had a very high chip on my shoulder coming out of the military, you know, and then experiencing, you know, life on those terms, it was really difficult. But you know, I just stay humble and thankful that I've learned from that, you know, and I've grown past that, and that I can, you know, help others as well, you know.
What would you say to someone who may be in the position that you were in, you know, as a veteran who's, or if they know someone who is a veteran, what would be your suggestion or what would you say to them?
I would share. You know, that usually opens up the door for someone to be comfortable enough, for veterans at least. You know, I don't know if it's like just getting some cred, you know, like, because not everyone's going to open up to you, you know, just from the military. It's not in us to do that. And like the superhero syndrome, you know, we feel like we, you know, we can't really talk about it because, you know, you can't relate to it. But just bringing, you know, something to the forefront that there are people out here, there are veterans out here that have been through those similar traumas that are actually here to help you. Not to, you know, point fingers, not to tell you what you should or shouldn't be doing, but at the end of the day, you know, you can have a tribe of veterans, you know, that can uplift, you know, that can support you, and that can provide you options, you know, if you are struggling, you know, with a substance use problem right now. That is the biggest thing, you know, that we do, because you know how we partner with the PTSD Foundation, and we get calls, you know. And the first thing you do, you know, you gotta talk to them. You know, they're gonna want to know who you are, you know, and then that usually opens up the door, you know, to sharing, to seeing how you can actually help that person. But that's what, from what I've seen, is how I've been able to talk and get to other veterans, is to open up maybe just a little bit about yourself and what you've done, what you experienced, and that usually gets them comfortable enough to share what's going on with them.
Well, Greg, I just want to say thank you so much for being willing to sit down and talk with me today. And, you know, it's been being willing to be vulnerable for the sake of helping others and finding those that still need the connection and the journey into their own recovery. And thank you for all that you do for Jay's Place and the people that we serve. And, you know, I appreciate you sitting down with me today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks again for joining us for our podcast. Greg wrote and recorded our theme song. Be sure to give him some encouragement when you see him.
Gonna take you on a journey
yeah.
At Jay's Place.